Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
I'm going to talk to you this morning about trains. And then we'll come to the scripture to see why we're talking about trains. Just to give you a little background, I was brought up just behind a train station. And we had a garden that was immediately behind the platform. It was just a little sort of area, rough area of ground, and there was our garden and our home. And in those days, you could tell the time by the trains. As a kid, I didn't, you know, children usually don't run around with watches, or they didn't when I was young. But you could always tell the time by the trains. You knew exactly what the time was because trains were hardly ever late. This nation needs revival, including including on the timekeeping of trains. And this was a suburban line that went into London, into Waterloo. But in those days, the goods trains were hauled by steam trains, so it's still the time of steam. And these weren't the toys that you get on the Bluebell Railway or anything like that. This was the real stuff. And if you went on the main lines, not the suburban lines, it was still steam in those days. And one of the things that we did as young kids was we always took the train numbers, you know, that was a big thing to do in those days. But we would also, we knew when these goods trains were coming in, and we used to like to go on the platform and ask the driver if we could come on the footplate, actually in the engine. Health and safety wouldn't allow such things these days, but praise God, we lived in the pre-health and safety days. We were healthy, but God kept us safe. And of course, this for a young kid, you know, 7, 8, this was a wonderful thing to do. And I don't think they were officially supposed to do it, but many of the drivers did, and they were very friendly and so on. Because we just, along about half a mile from us, was a railway siding where, you know, lots of the goods trains would go and so on. A mixed blessing at that time when I was a kid, because railway sidings were prime targets for enemy bombers. So my early years were spent at night in an air raid shelter, because you knew that this railway yard was going to be a prime target, and often was. So I often heard bombs falling at night and so on. The nearest they got to us was our front door was blown in by a blast one day. That was quite exciting. When you're a kid, it's quite exciting, you know, but because you don't really appreciate the danger of the situation. Except that, you know, you could get up some days and some houses that were there the day before weren't there the following day and things like that, you know. But a bit complicated, but what these engines had to do was to reverse down the track, and then they had to come up the other side of the track to get into the siding. So we used to love to ride on the footplate, and they would take us down and back again. Wonderful for a 7 or 8 year old. steam trains are dirty, though, which is one of the reasons why only one of us here still loves them. But you know, when you went on the mainland, it was in the hot weather, it was really difficult because you could either open the window and let all the soot in, or keep the window shut and get hot and keep the soot out. But it was rather like that. A steam train has its own propulsion. And before you were born again, you were like a steam train. You had your own propulsion, but you created a lot of dirt, a lot of pollution, because you were a sinner. At that time, your train was not on the tracks. Because the track represents the purpose that God plans and ordains for his people. So you weren't in the purpose of God. You had your own propulsion to go your own way. But the problem with a train is it's got no steering mechanism. So you had propulsion to go and do your thing, but you could not steer your life in the direction in which God wanted. Now, when you were born again, the steam engine was put to death. Sorry about that, but that's the cost. And you were made a brand new electrified model. Not even diesel, but electrified. And if you can imagine one of these railway lines where, you know, it gets its power from the overhead cable. God made you like that. Put you on the track. And you received your power from above. That's good. Uh-huh. Now, you didn't lay the track. And God has actually laid the track for the rest of your life. Before the world was created, he planned the line on which your train was going to travel. Now, you don't need to steer the train. It's still got no steering mechanism. What keeps it on course is the track. So the momentum of your train along this track purely depends upon you continuing to receive from the power source, from the power from above. If that power source is cut off, the train will just gradually run to a halt. Now, all this seems very nice. All we've got to do is keep going, receiving from God, and he will ensure that we reach the destination. However, it's not quite as simple as that. Because along this railway, along the tracks, there are certain junctions, points of decision. And you have to make a decision as to which track you're going to take. That is not made for you. Now, there's two kinds of wrong decisions you can make. There is a wrong decision which takes you down a sideline that ends in a dead end. You make a decision which was never part of God's purpose for you, But that sideline looked attractive. And so you decided to go that way. This train has the ability to actually make these choices. If you go down a sideline, you can't just suddenly jump from there back onto the track where you're supposed to be. Is this too deep for you? Are you all right? You have to backtrack the way you came, go back to the point where you departed from the purpose of God, make the choice you should have made in the first place, then you can proceed in the way that God intends. There's another kind of wrong decision which isn't so serious as that, where you have an option before you and you don't make so much a wrong decision as a compromising decision. And what you do is to therefore diverge from the main line and you go into one of these sort of loops that will bring you back to the main line on which you were and where God intends you to be. But you go on a roundabout way instead of going directly forward in the purpose that God has for you. So he brings you back. It's not so serious as taking, you know, a wrong siding so that sideline so that you have to backtrack. But it's not the best. And you only get to where God wants you to go through a prolonged process that could have been very much simpler. As you go along this track, there are warning lights, as there are on any railway. Green lights, you understand, full steam ahead. But sometimes there are the amber lights, the orange lights, warning you, steady, steady. And then there are the red lights that mean no, stop, or you'll be in danger. To ignore a red light is foolish.
That's true.
You are putting yourself in spiritual danger. I'm going to take you into the scriptures and show you all this in a moment. So, where there's those warning lights, we need to take heed before they become red lights. Because if you have to stop at a red light, your progress is impeded. But it is better to stop than to push ahead. But if we heed the warnings, then there won't be too many red lights. Are we all getting this? Now, of course, the purpose of the train is to arrive at the destination. And as you're the driver of this train, you decide the speed at which it goes. Whether you're going to crawl along in the purposes of God, or whether you're going to really go fast in the purposes of God. How far you go and how quickly you go is therefore going to be determined by your obedience to the Lord and staying in touch with the power source. However, this train is not on this track for its own benefit. It's there to be of service. So there are various stations along the way where you will need to stop, not to stop your progress in the Lord, but in order to take on passengers. And God's purpose is that what you begin with is just the engine, the motor carriage. But by the time you get to your destination, God wants to have added many, many carriages. So by the time you reach the destination, you've got a long train. And what happens is as you stop at these stations and you collect more passengers, so God adds, you know, like in the station where I was, because the sidings were just outside that station, you would have short trains during the day and long trains during the rush hour. And so you would see them joining up, joining more carriages on, ready for the rush hour. And that's really another picture of what God wants to do. He wants to keep adding carriages to your train so that as you go further along this course that God has set for you, you begin to be more and more influential in the number of lives that God has impacted because of the way you are driving down this railway line. Now, the great thing is that you don't have to determine the course of events because the line has already been laid. God has already prepared the good works for you to walk in. Everything is there ready. He has gone before you to prepare the way. If there's any barriers in the way, he clears the line because he is the mighty warrior. So if anybody tries to impede the progress of this train, they're coming not against you, but against the Lord, because the track belongs to him and the train belongs to him and the purpose belongs to him. And he's not going to allow anybody or anything to impede that. Now, of course, the disastrous thing would be for this train to get derailed. Is such a thing possible? My goodness, yes. And we'll see this in Scripture in a moment. But what happens when you get derailed is you cannot get yourself back on the track. This is where you need others to come and to continue the analogy. They've got to lift you back on track. So your faith must be that you will never get derailed. I mean, you don't want to go offline and go into one of these sidings that just end nowhere and have to backtrack. It's wise not to take too many of these loops that, yeah, you'll get there in the end, but it's going to be by a sort of discursive way. And you don't want to be just an express train rushing through all the stations and not taking anybody on board, because all you're concerned about is getting to the destination yourself. But you want to be one of those who is going to take on board more and more passengers whose lives are going to be impacted through Christ in you. Okay, let's turn to... Now, which book talks about all this? Well, of course, you've all guessed. It's Hebrews. Is anybody anointed enough to understand I've been talking about Hebrews? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. I'm not actually going to read from chapter 4, but in chapter 4, What are we talking about? The rest of faith. That faith is a rest. Faith is trusting in God. Now you see, the great thing about this train is it doesn't have to try to create a purpose of its own. If it trusts in the one who laid the track, just keeps in touch with the power source, the Lord will take that train along the track to its destination. All you've got to do is trust the Lord. You don't have to try to formulate your own plan and purpose. And there is a rest in that, the writer is saying. That trust takes a whole lot of the strain and the struggle and the strife out of life. Instead of thinking, you know, well, what do I do and what should I do? Am I right and am I wrong? Am I this, that, or the other? You know, it's like God saying, well, you just trust me and I will ensure that the course of your life that I have planned for you shall be fulfilled. What you mustn't do is to make decisions of your own that take you out of that purpose. And you go down one of these sidelines that ends in a dead end. Hello? God doesn't want you to take yourself out of the action by making wrong decisions. But while that rest of faith is operating in your life, then God is going to be taking you on, taking you further in those purposes. Now, if we go then on to chapter 5, we have a very interesting truth here. Let's read what it says. When the high priest is normally selected, he is but a man chosen to represent all men before God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for their sins. He can deal sensitively with the ignorant and those who have departed from God's will, because he too is subject to human weakness and failure. So when he offers the sacrifices, they are for his own sins as well as those of the people. No one would dare to claim this privilege for himself. Just like Aaron, he must be called by God. In the same way, Christ did not claim this honor of being high priest for himself. God said to him, "You are my son, and I have become your father." He also spoke of Jesus when he said, "You are an eternal priest in the line of Melchizedek." Okay, now just continue this analogy through. The one who created the universe becomes a train. And the Father has actually laid the track for him while he's here on earth. And he has to remain at one with the power source. He has to remain at one with the Father in order to fulfill the destiny, to keep moving down that track. Jesus cannot determine for himself where that track is going to lead. We know that it was to take him through the cross. But having gone through the cross, it took him into resurrection and then to the restoration of his glory. But in order to be faithful and obedient to the one who sent him, he came and shared our weakness and our humanity. He had to run the course of his life just as we had to run the course of our lives. Now, the good thing about Jesus is he never took a wrong sideline. He never went off course. He never even went round a loop that took him out of the Father's best purposes. For him, there were no red lights. because he always made the right decisions. But he still had to go the course. And because he was not here for himself, he took on board the passengers. Because his life here on earth was the destiny of nations, he actually returned to heaven, the scripture says, at the head of a long train. That was worth a better response than that. That was very, very sharp of the Holy Spirit, but you missed it. Anyway. Because God is still adding further coaches to this train. I mean, he is up there in glory, and God, the lines, you see, the lines went up when Jesus returned to glory. And, I mean, trains can't do that like this, but you know, we have been added to that train, and he is leading us in that triumphant train. Yeah, it is, isn't it? I'll have to remember that. All right, okay. Now, then if we read in verse 7, during his life on earth, Jesus prayed to his Father with loud cries and tears. Now, look at this. This really impacted me when I was reading it earlier. For only he could save him from death. There is one sense in which Jesus needed to be saved as the Savior. And he knew this, which is why there was this agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. He had to submit himself to death and be dependent on the Father to restore him to life. And very, very interesting this. And the Father heard him because he prayed with such submission to his Father's will. Now, look. Relate this to your train. You see, Jesus on the one hand knew the cross, the resurrection, the return to glory. That's the line that the Father has laid for me. But he still prays, even with loud cries and tears, that he will be faithful in pursuing that course and that the Father will be faithful to him in doing everything that he promises. Now, he would have known on the one hand that all this was going to happen because it was God's preordained destiny for him as the Christ. But on the other hand, he is praying his way along the track. He was praying his way through the cross. He was praying his way into the resurrection. He was praying his way to the glory. So it's not for us to say, well, hallelujah, I'm the train, God has got his purpose for me, I'm on the track, all I got to do is keep going. But how do you keep going in touch with the power source? Through prayer.
Come on.
That was true for Jesus, and it will be true for us. Are we there? And the Father heard him because he prayed with such submission to his Father's will. Even though he was God's son, he had to obey through everything he suffered. In this way, he was perfect, not only in nature, but also in action, and could be the one through whom all who are obedient to God could receive eternal salvation and be made one with him forever. So it was God himself that made Jesus high priest in the line of Melchizedek. We don't have to worry too much about Melchizedek this morning. But you see, just as Jesus pursued that way and fulfilled the destiny that the Father had for him, so with us, as we submit ourselves to the Father's will, as he submitted to the Father's will, as he prayed with loud cries and tears when, you know, he was confronted with the real cost and the difficulty of what lay before him, we can be sure that God will take us through whatever pressures, whatever difficulties, whatever opposition, whatever cost, whatever it is we have to face. God will not allow us to be derailed if we trust in Him. He will not allow us to make wrong decisions which will take us down a side turning that turns to nowhere. But He will keep us moving ahead in His purposes. Are we getting this?
Yes.
Hallelujah. So then we continue in verse 11. There is much we could write about all this, but it is difficult to explain these truths to those who are not ready to learn. Really, by now, you should be teachers of the truth, yet still you need someone to teach you these basic truths of God's Word again and again. Now, you see, as you pursue your course along this line, you are an example to others of how they are to pursue the purposes of God in their lives. Amen? You're not going to get derailed, because that would not be a good example. It would be a warning to others, but not a good example to others. So you want your life to be an example. If we go on now to chapter 6, this is interesting. It is time to move on from the basic teaching about Christ to a more mature understanding of God's purposes. We should not need to lay again for you the foundational truth that you need to turn away permanently from acts that lead to spiritual death. Now, you see, you put all that stuff behind you when you were a steam train and you became the new electrified model. Amen? Nor should we have to keep reminding you to put your faith in God. Why? Because it's that faith, that prayer of faith, that keeps you in touch with the power source. So you know, I've got to, you know, if without that faith, I cannot please God. Without that faith, I cannot progress in the purposes of God in my life. And you should not need continual instruction about baptisms and the laying on of hands. That's all basic stuff, you see. By now you should know about resurrection from the dead and the eternal judgment of all men that is to come. Very interesting. That teaching about judgment is one of the basic things from which everybody should have moved on. The problem in these days is that many people have never received instruction about the basic thing of judgment. Now, why should that be important? Well, every train is going to be judged for the way it moved along the track that God ordained for it. Are we getting this?
Yeah.
What you don't want is to miss the way. That could have very serious eternal repercussions. If you read in verse 4, you must realize this. It is not possible for those who have received the revelation of the truth, who have tasted the joy of heavenly salvation, and have shared in the life of the Holy Spirit, who know that God's word is good and true, who are aware of the power God will release in the age that is to come, to be brought back to unity with God if they deny all they have known and experienced. Now you see, for some people these are called problem verses. To God they're not problems at all. They're just as much the truth as any other verses in the Bible. God doesn't have any problems. And He hasn't got any problem verses in the Scripture. It's just a very simple truth. A problem only because people don't like what it says. So it's a problem to disobedient people, but it's not a problem to obedient people. What is the Scripture saying? Don't get derailed, otherwise you might never reach the destination. Is it possible for that to happen? Yes. What do you have to do for that to happen? Well, in its most serious element, you say, I'm not a train. This railway line is a load of nonsense. I just completely reject everything that I've ever known and experienced of it. OK? Can people do that? Yes, and some have. That, the scripture says, has very serious eternal repercussions. Of course, that's not going to happen to anybody here.
Amen.
But we are going to pursue the purposes of God. We're going to be carried on in the way that God wants us to go. To deny what they know to be true is to be guilty of the equivalent of nailing God's Son to the cross again, subjecting him to public disgrace and ridicule. This is something worse than rebellion. This is denying what you know to be the truth to be the truth. Rebellion will take people down one of those side lines that ends in a dead end. Just disobedience would take you around one of those loops, which means you have to go in a discursive way when you could have gone directly in the way that God wanted you to go. So avoid those dead ends, because you're only going to have to come back to the point at which you made the wrong decisions.
Right.
And the further you go down that line, the longer it takes you to come back, the more difficult it is. I mean, if somebody sort of makes a wrong turn and realizes it and stops, it's not too difficult just to back up and then make the right decision. But when, you know, you say, no, I'm right to go this way, and you go way down that for several miles, it's going to become more and more difficult for you to backtrack to where you need to be. I could give you illustrations of this, but I will refrain to do so. Just accept that it's very much the truth. Now, if we get onto the more positive, on verse 7, the land that receives frequent rain and produces a good harvest for the farmer is truly blessed by God. On the other hand, the land that produces only thorns and thistles is useless and appears to be cursed. The only thing to do is to burn it. Now, you see, you go on one of these sidelines. I don't know how much you know about railways, but you go on one of these sidelines, the rails have got rusty.
Right.
There's all kinds of weeds and things growing through. And why? Because it's not fit for use. But you chose that way because you didn't want the way that God had put before you. Hello? But if you keep to the way that God intends, the track is in good order because the Lord laid it. Amen. Dear friends, these are uncomfortable truths of which we speak. However, we are confident that you will not deny what you know to be the truth, but will remain steadfast in your faith and live in the good of your salvation. You cannot accuse God of being unjust. He will never forget your faithful work. Okay, let's pause there again. When you come to the day of judgment, God won't forget all the good things that you've done in his name. Why not? He will see how long your train is. And he will know that it's through his activity that more and more coaches were added to the train. That was worth an hallelujah. But you see, he will not forget your good works. He will forget your sin.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
We'll try that again. He will forget your sin.
Hallelujah.
Because love keeps no record of wrongs. But he will not forget your good works. He will not forget your faithful work, nor the love for him that you have shown by continuing to stop at the stations and take on board all those whose lives God wants you to impact. We urge every one of you to continue in this faithfulness to the very end. Then you will not need to fear the outcome, but will be certain about your hope of eternal life with God. This is why we do not want you to become spiritually lazy. You don't go dawdling along the track because there's not much power, because there's not much prayer. Hello. We do not want you to become spiritually lazy, but rather to be like those who inherit what he has promised because they persevere patiently in their faith. Right. Now, there's just one more thing that we're really going to focus on. So get this. God gave Abraham his solemn promise on his own honor, for there was no one greater by whom he could swear that he would be faithful. He said, "Without doubt, I will bless you and give you many descendants." Are you hearing this? After waiting patiently, Abraham saw the promise fulfilled. When men make solemn promises, they swear by someone greater than themselves. By taking an oath, they confirm that what they say is true and beyond any argument. Why should God make his promises on oath? Because he wanted to make absolutely clear that his purposes never change. It is clear to all his children that he is faithful in keeping his word because he confirmed his promise by taking an oath. He chose to do this for our sakes so that we would know for certain that God would never lie and that his promises are utterly dependable. It is simply not possible for God to lie because he is the truth. We have left behind the deceptiveness of the world and have taken hold of the sure and certain hope of what lies ahead. And this should cause us to be greatly encouraged. This hope of what awaits us in the future is a firm anchor for our souls. This truth keeps us secure and means that we have access directly into the Holy of Holies, God's very presence. We can pass through the curtain that was torn apart when Jesus went before us through death and into the glory of resurrection. He did all this on our behalf as our high priest, an eternal priest in the line of Melchizedek.
Amen, amen.
Now, what does that say to us? This track that lies ahead, you cannot see visibly because the track is made up of God's promises. Now, as far as God is concerned, because he has sworn by the honor of his own name to keep his word, those promises are just as good as a solid track of steel.
Come on.
And he wants us to believe his promises to us to such a degree that they are just as sure and certain as if we could see that track. You see it with the eyes of faith. But the track actually consists of the promises of God. And you see, Abraham, when God gave him the promises, he could not see how all those promises were going to be fulfilled. Yet he believed God. And God said to him that he would be the father of many nations, that every nation of the world would be blessed through him. He could not see, but it was a promise. Hallelujah. And God has given us many promises in Jesus. He is the yes, the amen to all the promises of God. It's not just personal promises that each one of us receive from the Lord by the Spirit, but these are the promises of God that he has given us in his word. These are the sure and certain infallible words of God that will take us to the destination as we believe what he says. If we depart from that faith, we go down a sidetrack because actually a rebellion has taken place in our lives, an independence, a self-righteousness that takes us out of dependence upon God's word, dependence upon his promises, and into dependence on our own reason. That's where so many Christians go wrong. And yeah, those sidetracks, they're redeemable. But they cause a lot of distress. Why? Now listen to me. Listen to me. Before someone makes a wrong turning, they've got others in the coaches that they're influencing. If they take that wrong turn, all those others that they influence go with them.
Right.
And that causes harm and hurt and distress, confusion. Why? Well, you just see, look, here's a train, it takes this wrong track. Others influenced by that train have to go with. What's happened to my relationships? What's happened to my friends? They're still here. I'm being led there. Separation. Division. Breaking of covenant. Sad, isn't it? What a warning to us. And this is where, you see, we're not just running on our own independent lines. Because God brings us together to share in the purposes of God. And you don't want to have a crash with any other train. You don't want to pile up on the line that God has set before us. Are we getting this?
Yes.
That's why you heed the warning signals. Stop, there's danger ahead. Caution. Careful what you're doing. That's why God raises up leadership to warn some of the trains. You're going into a danger. Don't take that turning. No! You don't understand what you're doing. No, no, no! But stubbornness, self-will. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. If I wanted to go that way, I'll go that way, and I believe I'm right to go that way. Okay. But you're going to leave the main line. But God, if we trust him, hey, listen. You know what happens down those sidetracks? There's no overhead cable for the power. So at first the thing is running all right because there's a momentum of power it had on the main track, but it's going to get slower and slower and slower till it stops. Repentance is turning around and coming back to where you were before. You get back on the main line, you get back into the source of supply, and you're away again. Back in the purposes of God. But you need to make that decision. I'm never going to get out of the purposes of God. When he warns me, I'm going to heed the warnings. If I don't hear them myself, I'm going to heed the warnings through others. Because you know, there's leadership are rather like signalmen, you know, who can point the way and, you know, flash the amber lights saying, hey, 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 what you're doing is dangerous. No, 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 no. And the red light, oh. You see people doing it. And you try to stop them. You do everything you can to prevent it. But ultimately, we all have to make our own decisions. And when you're in leadership, you can't make people's decisions for them. You can tell them what is right. You can tell them what is wrong. You can tell them if they're deceived. You can tell them if they're disobedient. You can encourage them when they're right. But you can't make their decisions for them. So you have to be a responsible train driver. So I hope you will remember this message, because when you've got visible things like this, it's easy. But to remember, you know, and when you go on a train journey. But I was just reading through these chapters of Hebrews this morning, and God just really began to speak to me through, like I've spoken to you, through this, and just showing how this analogy helps to understand what God is saying. The great thing is that Jesus has gone down this track ahead of us. And if we just follow the track that He has laid for us, then we will arrive at the destination. Not alone, but at the head of a long train of all those that we have influenced. And you see, just to finish where I started this morning, what was so encouraging on Sunday was to see one young ex-student. Right, he's already got several coaches on his train. He's already got a whole number of people in his church and nationally in this youth movement that he's initiated. God is already gathering to his train. And because God is calling him to an apostolic ministry, which will have national implications, he will end up with a long train. And all that is the grace of God. It's all the grace of God, isn't it? It's not what we accomplish. Why? Because the train can go nowhere without the power source. So we can thank God, amen, that we're not steam trains spewing out soot. We're nice, clean, efficient models attached to the power source. God has set that track before us full of His promise. His promises, which will never fail those who trust in them. And by His grace, we're not going to take any side turnings. And we want to be those people that are so faithful in prayer that He will even spare us from taking those loops, which were unnecessary. I'd like to think that none of us would ever do that. I think probably all of us do that kind of thing from time to time. But praise God, that doesn't take us right out of the will of God. It just sort of makes life a bit more difficult for us and slows up our progress. So we want to be those that go steaming ahead, but electrifying ahead, down the main line. Amen? Amen. And we don't have to fear the day of judgment, because we're not going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ alone. But we know that out of the books that will be open, all the negative things, all the sin, all the failure has been erased. And God has got a record of all those faithful works. Hallelujah. Come on, let's stand. Praise the Lord. Oh, we give you glory, Jesus. Now, you don't actually have to say to the Lord, thank you, Lord, I'm not a steam train anymore. But you just thank him that you're not who you were. But he has made you who you are. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Pura la basutu di sarata bari eleda bakara sitaba. Bura la la basata bari esitu di sandaba. Now thank the Lord that he's taken hold of your life and he's put you on the tracks. Thank him that he's been leading you along those tracks. Hallelujah. He knows already the faithful works that you have performed. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank him for the coaches that are already attached to your train. Now, some of you are young and you're young in the Lord. There may not be too many coaches yet. So thank him also for all the coaches that are going to be added to the train. That you're going to take on board so many passengers in the years ahead that your train is going to get longer and longer and longer. Hallelujah. Pura la basata bakarazitoba. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Pura la basata parasitoba. And all those passengers in your trains will actually become train drivers themselves, and they will have their own trains, and they will gain passengers, and they will have lots of coaches attached to their trains. And so we're going to see a multitude saved, a multitude going into heaven. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to your name, Lord. Purata parazata parati parasituri sanduma. Borata pariesituri satari eleraba. O parazata parieletu bakarasituri sanduma. O parazata parieletu bakarasituba. O paparazatari eletari eletu parasunduma. Brusta kariesituri sandubu karasituba. Hallelujah. Now thank the Lord that you're in touch with the power supply. Hallelujah. That you are in Christ. His Spirit is in you. Thank you, Jesus. Now, you know, you've got to keep the wheels well oiled. So thank him for that anointing, the anointing of oil, the oil that is flowing through your life, keeping everything well oiled, keeping every part functioning in the right way. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. Thank you. We're not going to have any squeaky wheels here because everything is going to be well oiled. Praise you, Jesus. Sotori satapara topakara sitori sanduma. Brostakari esitori sandubukala sitori sanduma. And we thank you, Lord, that we're not in this for ourselves just to get to the destination, but because we're going to serve those. Lord, we thank you that we won't mind stopping, pausing at any stations along the way so we can take more and more people on board. Use us to do that, Lord. Use us to do that, we pray. Purata parazatapaya. O paparazatapara suturi santo balotoba. Brasta kariesituri santo bukalasitoba. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We want to be so sensitive to your voice that we don't take any wrong turns. We don't take any decisions that take us off the main line and into one of those side linings. All sidelines. Oh, Lord, we just pray. We just pray right now that we will remain faithful, we'll remain true, we'll remain in submission to your word. Thank you that the lines ahead are the promises that you've given us. Thank you that those promises are sure and certain. Thank you, Lord, that as we believe the promises of your word, so we shall stay on course and we shall bear much fruit for the glory and the honor and the praise of your holy name. We bless you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord.
Purata parazata parasito di sanduba. Prostakaria sito di sarato pakarasitoba. Bo parazato. And Lord, we believe that by your grace we will never be derailed. That we would never be so foolish. So we thank you for your wisdom. We thank you that you have given us the wisdom that comes from God. And Lord, we don't want ever to get into a place of pride where we go our own way and desert your way. So we just pray right now that we will remain humble before you, humble before others, that we will not be stubborn, we will not be resistant, that Lord, when you flash amber lights, we will take notice. So we'll never have to have those red lights. But Lord, we just pray we will never be foolish enough to go through a red light. Lord, we're so conscious that because our lives do impact other lives, we have a responsibility to those that are in our trains. Hallelujah. And we don't want to lead others astray because we go astray ourselves. So Lord, we praise you. We bless you. We thank you. Oh, we thank you that your grace is sufficient for us. We thank you, Lord, that you came and shared in our weakness, but you didn't share in our sin, that you were tempted in every way just as we are, but you didn't share in our failure to resist that temptation. And we thank you that because you go before us, all we have to do is follow you as the good shepherd, and we just give you all the glory. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Purata parazatabaya. Urata pakarazitaba. Now, Lord, we don't want to drive with the brakes half on. We want to motor. We want to coast. We just want to pause at the stations to take others on. But, Lord, we want to keep moving ahead in your purposes. We don't want to be like the lazy ones that your word speaks of. We don't want to just dawdle along. We want to really motor with you. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.